You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Matt Wilhelm showing me a picture for Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale Rib.
Get you along.
Gotta get you some.
Gotta get you along.
You may need to get the marketing person from that company
for
over
sure.
Here. We're giving them way too much free publicity.
I want them.
Working
Let's
on
go.
It right now.
Right now we're working on it.
Give me 7 days.
We found out who their distributor is. That's all we need.
Cavalier Distributing.
Got some Browns news, ladies and gentlemen.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Browns on Friday have re-signed exclusive rights free agents running back Sean Drone and punter Spencer Lanning, according to Ray Farmer. Drone joined the Browns prior to week 14 last season.
Yeah,
some
baby!
Kicks. He can run the ball.
Lanning!
Lanning's a great guy.
Man.
I'm excited for Spencer Lanning.
Woo!
He's landed 53 punts inside the 20, the highest two-year total in Browns history. Now, the Browns do a fair amount of punting. But in 2013, Lanning became the first player since 1968 with a punt, an extra point, and a touchdown pass in the same game. Spencer Lanning, great guy on the sideline. Great guy in the locker room. I love him. Very happy for him and Sean Drone. Now, the fact that they brought Sean Drone back means I don't expect the Browns to add anyone at running back.
I agree. I think that's very, very safe bet. But we're extremely youthful at running back.
Well, Drone is kind of the veteran. He'll be the guy who's been the veteran. He's been in 30 career games, so he's been around a little bit. And then you've got Glenn Winston, Crow, and Terrence West all in their second seasons. So I think you're pretty good. I think you're in pretty good shape right there with those running backs. And for what this team wants to do, I think West and Crow are going to be very, very good. So those guys are back for the Browns. Little Browns news right there for you. We're going to continue our look at the free agents and also take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Jabal Sheard. Thought he played like a Brown last year, played hurt. I think he's a very good player, ninth on the team's all-time sack list with 23 sacks. But I really think he's a 4-3 D end. 15.5 sacks in his first two seasons in that role, 7.5 in the 2 years as a 3-4 outside backer. I think if you're Jabal Sheard, now this is a guy who bet on himself last year, probably could have gotten a bigger payday. Now he's going to go out in the open market. I think he's a great guy, great player. I liked him on the Browns. I think he's probably going to go somewhere where he has an opportunity to be utilized more effectively. I just don't think he's a scheme fit. I think he should go back to being a 4-3 DN, and I think he's a darn good one.
I agree with you, and I've said that all along when it comes to Jabal Sheard becoming a unrestricted free agent. He was, in 2013, you have to give it up for his contributions. Cleveland Browns Man of the Year. So he embodied everything of playing like a Brown, as you said, opening up the conversation about him. He is an integral part in the community as well, representing the Cleveland Browns. So he will be missed here, but I just believe he's not a great fit, and that's why pass rusher, opposite Paul Kruger, will maintain will be a hole on the other side of this of Paul Kruger on defense until we fill it. We have Markievicz Mingo, but I think he's kind of molded into his role on this defense, and we just need that tenacious pass rusher that can play out of a 2-point stance, which Jabal Sheard just never really clicked for him.
The only thing I'll say is if this might be the opposite of Buster, if the money's not out there for him, and maybe he is comfortable being in Cleveland, likes the situation, maybe you end up getting him back at a little bit at a cheap number.
I'd be fine with that. I like Jabal Sheard. I think he's been a good player for the team.
Let me ask you a question, Wilhelm.
Yes.
As a fan, you watch Mingo, and his effort's always there, but myself
he
included.
He was hurt last year.
A lot of guys will look at it and say he doesn't look that good. But then when you do the research, everywhere you look, like the pros rate him as being like he was like on the all-sophomore team. What is he doing that someone like me is missing when I'm watching?
Well, first and foremost, I think your expectations with where he was drafted and his contribution to the team is created like, a smokescreen of what you view of him on the football field. You expect him to have double-digit sacks to consistently be around the passer, and that's just not what he's doing. But what he's doing, as we heard all season long from Coach Pettine and Jim O'Neill and himself, is he's found his niche, he's found his role, and he's in some cases grading out off the charts within this defense. And I think what it is he just really understands the defense around him, and he fits into the role that they're putting in him. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, as the season went on, what I like to see, and the reason why I like to see it is because I was a part of it in San Diego in a 3-4 defense where you kind of get confident, which also brings some creative aspects. And we were able to use Mingo in different positions, which meant that he's progressing within that defense as well. And when we had an opportunity to be with him at Discount Drug Mart in Medina, a few weeks ago, he was excited to get healthy. As you said, Nathan, he was playing injured all year with one shoulder. But more so than anything, my question for him was, like, how much do you want to live up to the expectation of, like, of being that sack guy? Because that's probably the one question that he gets asked all the time. Why don't you get more sacks? Where's your production at? Well, he's very productive for this defense, just not productive the way Browns fans thought, or a lot of people thought, taking him sixth overall.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Banner on Twitter is a big supporter of his, and I think Joe's pretty astute when he's following football and is actually pretty fair in his grading of the Browns, and he's always saying
I'm excited for Barkevious Mingo in year two of this defense.
He was, and he played literally with one arm, and it was competent. So I mean, if he can, with two arms, I think he's going to be in much, much better shape. I'm excited to see his development.
And from a person, he seems like a pro's pro.
He is a pro's pro. And he said he could dunk on Nathan.
Well, he did say that. He said he could dunk on you, too.
Absolutely, he did.
My sources tell me that Nate.
It will never happen.
There was no D in Nate's name, so take that for what it's worth.
Actually, my middle initial is D. Thank you very much. It is Nathan D. Zagura.
But
I didn't play much D as a young
Vince
man.
Vince Conney, friend
got
of the show,
old,
said that you play no defense.
As an older man now, I do play defense.
Do we need to get Vince on the phone?
I don't play defense either.
He would say, as Vince Conney, if I play no defense, how come I'm undefeated against him and he was a collegiate basketball player in one-on-one? Got to play some defense.
He never told me that.
Or he can score the basketball. That's how we almost got a couple fist fights.
Shocker.
He did not take it. He didn't take it very well, Vince Conney Friend Show. All right, Ataba Rubin will not be back. Don't even need to spend time on that. Brian Hoyer won't be back. Talked to the USA Today saying that it's good for both sides to move on. The one guy who I think could be back, Miles Austin. 47 catches, 568 yards, two scores last year. Was the go-to guy on third down.
Money Miles.
I think Money Miles could be back. As a mentor, somebody to come in and compete for that number two job, I think his price would be certainly reasonable. I think they will find somebody, a bigger name, that, and I do think the Browns will sign somebody in free agency wide receiver that'll get people happy. But I think Miles Austin could also be back. Of these six, he's the guy that I would give the highest percentage
chance.
Well,
and in some
back.
Cases, I think in bringing Miles Austin back, even on a one-year deal, I think, what did he make, $1 million last year?
Yes.
Okay, so at this point, if Money Miles knows that there's very few other markets that he can go to and contribute, if he was comfortable with his role here in Cleveland, and again, him and John DeFilippo hopefully click, and he feels like he'd be an asset for the Cleveland Browns, you do re-sign him. And in some cases, I've seen it happen time and time again, you re-sign Miles Austin once free agency opens, you give him maybe $250,000 up front and another $1 million salary. Okay, so if come August 29th and the season, you know, that opening day roster is being, you know, whittled down, and you release Miles Austin, you're out $250,000. You're not out a significant number. So I think it's worth bringing it here because of what the way in which he played like a Brown all season long, and I think also too the role that he could play on third down and in the red zone as well, being a physical, savvy wide receiver for whoever plays quarterback on this football team.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's sort of what they did last year when they brought him and Nasty Nate Burleson in and expect one of them to stick and one of them to be that mentor and maybe the second, maybe the third, hopefully the third or fourth receiver. But I'd love to see him back. I think that, you know, all you read about him was that how good he was in the locker
Great
room.
Great guy.
And look, the production of all our no-name receivers, who was the veteran they were learning from was him.
Yes. I loved his production. It was huge. And I think, you know, the connection with him and Brian Hoyer that they developed, I thought Brian Hoyer missed him towards the end of the season when Brian Hoyer began to struggle.
Yes.
Certainly did. Everybody missed him. Money Miles, that was his name, showed a lot of toughness against the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to the phone lines right now. We've got Johnny B. in Pittsburgh. Johnny B., welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, man.
Hey, listen, I have obviously we want to get a Dominic Sue, but that'll never happen. But tell me what you think of this. I have a sleeper tight end, and being in Pittsburgh and a Browns fan for 34 years, I have a unique view of being able to, unfortunately, watch the Steelers. I think that Matt Spaeth, he's a blocking tight end. I mean, he has added so much for that team. He's 6'7". He doesn't have a lot of receptions, but I just see him being an incredible fit for the team and also very cheap. What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that is, I think when we had John DeFilippo in earlier in the week, he's not the U. He'd be a Y. He'd be the Barnage-Dre role That's in this offense, that. And we have two of those under contract already, so he wouldn't be a great fit. We're looking for that pass catcher, that move guy, the guy that you can split out, that creates a mismatch. And as you said, he doesn't have a whole lot of receptions, but for a guy like him, and what's great about a guy like him is he found his niche in Pittsburgh, which is why he's been such a big statement for them opposite Heath Miller.
I mean, you're looking at the guys that are out there, Julius Thomas, Jordan Cameron, Charles Clay, Rob Hausler maybe fits that bill from the Arizona Cardinals. those would be the guys you're looking at. Maybe a Tony Moyaki as he comes back from so many knee injuries. But
I like Moyaki when he first came out in KC.
He's good, man.
You know my opinion.
I know you once drafted Tony Moyaki in a fantasy draft in the 17th round with Jacuzzi Ricky to be a carryover for you, to be a sleeper, some guy that you would continue to have, or a keeper that you'd have year after year for his entire career. You could enjoy that. Gibbs, we still have Jim with us in Madison. Jim in Madison, welcome to the show.
It's a great place. Listen, I have an opinion here.
Yes.
And far as I'm concerned, the people that they're drafting for receiver or getting receivers and everything is all a waste of time, because they have nobody that's going to reach the ball to them. Because they let Hoyer go. He was the best thing we had in years. And they let him go, and they're not going to win nothing. You can write it down.
Let me ask you a question. So you're a big Hoyer fan. Where do you think Hoyer's going to go? You think he's going to be a starter somewhere?
Yes, I do.
Okay, where?
I was kind of hoping they'd go to Arizona Cardinals.
Carson Palmer will be healthy by training camp.
You know, because I know that he's that good.
We'll respectfully disagree with you here. I think that time will tell that he's going to end up being a backup somewhere.
Now, it was reported, I guess, Tony Rizzo. Gibson, can you clarify so I don't speak out of turn, but on the Really Big Show, Riz saying that Brian Hoyer had a deal in place to be a starter somewhere?
Crickets.
Gibbs, I'm talking to you. Based on tweets I read, that's what I heard, that Rizzo said that they expected a deal for him to be a starter. The teams that left, I don't think there's anywhere left right now where you could immediately say that he was the starter.
No.
Unless Chicago gets rid of Jay Cutler. The two places that he could probably, or three that he could probably go and compete would be Houston. I know Bill O'Brien thinks very highly of him, but they want to re-sign Ryan Mallett by all indications, and that's John McClain saying that as well. So he would compete with him and Ryan Fitzpatrick. With Tennessee, I think he could beat out Zach Mettenberger.
I would hope so.
But you never know. Maybe they want a Mark Sanchez there. But if they don't, that would be the other one. And then the third would be the Jets. Geno Smith finished the season out very strong. He's got weapons now with Brandon Marshall, but that could be a place where he could. That's the other place that he could go and compete. Now, would they draft a Mariota? Would they start him over Geno Smith? I don't know. But those seem to be the three places that would be out there.
I'll give you the same percentage that I give of Tennessee drafting Mariota. 0% that he's a starting quarterback.
All right, what did you want?
On opening day. So what exactly did Rizzo say earlier today about Hoyer and a potential
contract?
Yeah.
I was not listening. I don't know all the details. I couldn't even repeat it word for word, unfortunately.
Well, way to go, Gibbs.
So I'm a wealth of information. Aren't you glad I chimed in on that?
I am. Well, now we're happy that we waited for you to get off the phones to chime in.
Dude, I was talking to Stan. Stan's talking my ear off.
Stan the man.
Come on, Stan. Stan wants to do his own radio show.
We haven't taken Stan forever. Let's take him.
But I'm like, you want to go on? And he's like, no, they're not going to take my call. I go, I'm offering you, put you on.
What do you mean? We're not gonna, yeah, you just said you'd put him on.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't know you're the boss?
No.
He doesn't know that you're the boss.
You're in-season Emmett or Matt Fontana running the board.
Wow. Look at you. Are you slamming those boys?
No. I'm just saying. They run and stand quickly.
They do get – they really run and stand out here. So at Tom_Boda says, Rizzo on RBS show said a source says that Brian Hoyer is going to sign Tuesday at 5 with a team as a starter. Said he couldn't talk about it when press said to ask our Browns beat writer, and said it was a foregone conclusion he was going to be starting. Any competition would just be smoke. So – if that's the case, good for Brian Hoyer. That'd be fantastic.
That'd be great for Brian Hoyer.
That's what Brian wants.
That's what it is what he wants. So it would have to be Chicago without Jay Cutler, or Tennessee or the Jets.
Does it necessarily have to be in the National Football League? Could it be in Canada?
Oh, come on.
He's
yes. going to be
gonna,
in the National Football
and
League.
And he's going to be beaten out by any of those guys after 6 games.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's – if Chicago – who's Chicago's got Jimmy Clausen right now. If they don't have Jay Cutler.
And that all being said is, you know, John Fox – had the luxury of having Peyton Manning at the end of his career in Denver, but he wants to play that controlled, run the football, defensive, you know, type of football game. Which Brian Hoyer fit here in Cleveland would be a good fit there in Chicago.
It could be. That would probably be his best case scenario for him.
I'm just going to invite all these fans that are crying for Hoyer to call back next year when his production is equally as bad as it was this year.
I hope he gets an opportunity to start that many games We'll see. I don't know if that's going to be the case. If he ends up in a place like Minnesota, like we heard yesterday, then he's not going to play at all unless Theodore gets injured. But those would be the teams. I think if you're Brian Hoyer and you're looking at this market and you're saying, where can I play? It's got to be Tennessee, the Jets, or Chicago without Cutler.
Or Houston. Or completely backup role.
Right. But he wants to play. He wants to play.
Absolutely.
He certainly does. All right, so Browns not bringing anybody back. We're going to talk with Jeremy Fowler from ESPN.com. Covers, of course, the Browns for ESPN. We're going to talk to him about what he expects the Browns to do. We'll check in with on his thoughts on the re-signing of the 6 free agents, also his take on the Brian Hoyer situation, the quarterback situation, all that when we come back here. And for hour number 2 of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.